Welcome to The Grill Room. On the menu this week, all the latest news, views, and opinions from the world of professional golf. Your maitre d's are Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli, two friends who rarely agree on anything. You can count on them to give you both sides of the story, whether you want it or not. So come on in, have a seat, and remember, anything that comes from the Grill Room is definitely on our tab. The Grill Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses. And remember, keep your applause to a mild clap, all right? After all, we're talking golf here.
As the Open Championship is next week, we'll start the show with some breaking news. But first, I want to welcome everyone to the Grill Room. I'm Bob Bubka, here with Alex Maselli. Well, not really. Alex, already in Scotland. So let's start with the breaking news. Alex, what's the story on Rory McIlroy?
Well, Bobby, it's just after 5 o'clock here in Scotland, and we don't know anything more than we learned this morning when we woke up and saw his Instagram picture with Rory outlining the fact that he's basically has a torn ligament in his left ankle, and it's unclear how bad the damage is, what exactly he'll be able to do. He indicated that he was already doing rehab, which I'm not really sure how he could already do rehab considering the ankle, but we don't know much more than that, and I don't think we're going to know more for a couple days. I think he's going to have it assessed. I'm sure if it happened on Saturday, as he indicated from the fact that he was playing some soccer with some friends. He called it a kick around or kickabout. I don't know what the hell that means. All I do know is that, you know, when you're the world number one, you shouldn't be out there playing soccer. We've had this conversation with guys that go skiing and everything else. Bottom line is that we don't really know exactly how bad the situation is. As I said, it happened on Saturday. So just swelling alone takes some time to go down before you can really assess it better. So I'm thinking we're going to need another 24 to 48 hours before we get a clear picture of exactly how long Rory McIlroy is, going to be out, because he's already withdrawn from the Scottish Open.
And of course, you know, he's got a defense of his title coming up at St. Andrews. And, you know, obviously at his young age, he didn't realize how precious a thing it is to be able to go to St. Andrews, to go there as defending Open champion. You know, you only get those opportunities once every five years. So, you know, if he's going to miss it, he misses playing at St. Andrews, Alex, for 5 years.
Well, Bob, I mean, first of all, I think it's unfair that we would say that he doesn't understand because he's young. I'm sure he understands. I mean, the last thing he wanted to do was not be able to defend his title no matter where it is. Obviously, we put a lot more stock in going to St. Andrews. It's such a terrific place. It's the home of golf, all the things that are a part of that. But to assume that he doesn't understand it, I think, is a little unfair. That being said, again, you know, you have to be aware of the fact that it's easy to hurt yourself when you're doing something other than what you normally do. And, you know, this isn't the first time we've heard of guys getting having problems in soccer. Sergio Garcia had some issues. More recently, as Billy Foster, who was on Lee Westwood's bag, basically was out of commission for like 9 months. I mean, you know, it doesn't sound like it's anywhere near that serious with Rory. But the fact is that you got to think through these things when you're doing them.
Let me ask you this, Alex. Should maybe we take a long look at redirecting some of the attention that we're giving to Jack Nicklaus for winning 18 majors and head it in the direction this gentleman played his first major in 1962 as a professional, played his last one in 1998. That's 146 majors in a row without missing them. And he did other activities, Alex. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, he went home and, you know, just sat in his house in between major championships. Either he was extremely lucky or extremely careful or probably a lot of both.
Well, I mean, I think too, well, first of all, you're probably lucky. I don't think there's any question about that. But, you know, the thing about Jack Nicklaus was, and back in that era, you didn't hear about the issues that you hear about today. I mean, you know, when you start getting into this weight training and strength training and core training, you're doing things to your body. Your body is stressing as well as getting better, as well as, in fact, enhancing your body. And, you know, things can happen quite easily. And we're seeing it. The guy who's had the biggest problems is probably the guy that we think is the most fit, which is Tiger Woods. And they talk about the knee. Well, the last problem, the most recent problems aren't the knee, it's the back. So, I mean, that's one thing. I mean, the only guy I know of back in the day that would do a lot of strength training and weight training was Frank Stranahan. I mean, I know that Gary Player did a lot of stretching and those type of things. But you're right. I mean, I think it has a lot to do with the fact that these guys are doing other things to try to make their body stronger. And in doing that, I think they actually put their body at risk at times in other areas.
You know, I think that's a very good point. And you don't hear that discussed a lot where somebody is, they're trying, the modern day golfer is trying to fine tune that body, you know, right to the umpteenth degree. They're taking it to the highest possible stress level. And, you know, maybe they're crossing the line. Maybe Rory McIlroy was in too good a shape. You know, great shape for golf, not great shape for a kick-around or a kickaboo, whatever he called it.
Yeah, I just think at the end of the day, you're a professional golfer. You need to do the things that will help you play professional golf, but you need to be aware of that you can cross the line quite easily. I mean, this is a game, really, if you're going to spend the time doing anything, I think it's fair. Anybody would say if you spent your time stretching and all your time stretching, that you probably would be just as well off as if you do some of the things that you hear some of these guys doing. And lifting weights is an exact science. There's an art to it. And you have to know exactly which way to go. Everybody's body is different. Everybody's joints are different. And there's no one that can tell you if your knee is a better knee than somebody else's knee. It just takes one wrong lift or one wrong movement, and that can make the difference. And I think the stretching thing is really the way to go. And we'll see what happens with Rory. And this may be just a much ado about nothing. But, I mean, I think that no matter what happens, he is not going to be in the shape that he wants to be in going into the Open Championship. St. Andrews is probably the easiest golf course to know. There's not many tricks out there. There's not many surprises out there like some of the other venues. So it's not like you have to have spent a lot of time. It's not Chambers Bay, for goodness sakes. So
please, that's sacrilegious.
But for the fact that the guys that are playing like a John Deere this week, the only thing coming over early would be do for them is to get them acclimated. It's not that they have to learn the knowledge of the golf course. And so I think that at that point, that's going to help Rory in regards to the fact that it's not a course he needs to know so well. It's a course that he's played, a course he's played very well at. So all those are positives. But the bottom line negative is that it's the left ankle, and it's one that he will plant on when he's swinging the golf club. And it's the one that if it does give way, you can't really control the golf ball at all. So I think that that's the biggest concern that you would have. And, you know, the other end of the equation is that sometimes it's better to sit out. And no one wants to sit out a major championship. But you mentioned he's defending at the Open Championship. Well, he's going to be defending at the PGA too. And I think that he wants to try to be successful at least one of the defenses. And I just think that's going to be very hard no matter what the situation is. As you see the guy standing there with a boot on all the way up to his knee on his left leg, that he would be ready to go 100% at least. I don't think he'd be even 75% going to the Open Championship.
And I just think that missing any major is major, okay? Missing the Open Championship at St. Andrews is in a whole different category. I'm not asking you to play doctor here, but if you had to put a percentage on the chances that we're going to see Rory McIlroy tee it up at St. Andrews in defense of his title, what would it be?
Well, I've heard from some, a doctor actually, and he thinks that it's a pretty much a 50-50.
Wow.
And so, like you said, I'm not a doctor, but from what he could gather, it's not as serious as we see it. I mean, you know, anytime you see somebody in a boot, you think serious. But, I mean, all they're doing is stabilizing the leg. It doesn't matter how bad or how good the situation is. All they're doing is stabilizing the leg. So we'll see. We'll see. Right now, the only information in regards to a diagnosis we have is from Rory McIlroy. that is it. So I think we need a little more information before we can really go out on a limb very much on this.
All right, before we move along, we missed not asking you, how was your trip over to Scotland? Smooth, I hope? No incidents?
You know, I have to say, Bob, you know, when it came to Gullen, I wasn't really sure where I wanted to stay, and I was looking. There's not really hotels per se, but I guess I could. But I did Airbnb in a two-bedroom flat in North Berwick for a very good price. And I was shocked how nice the place is. It's right near the beach. It's right in town. It's 10 minutes from Gullen. It's terrific. So I have no complaints in regards to my trip to Scotland so far.
Gullen and gullible, I guarantee you the day you check out, a little sign's going to go up in front of that two-bedroom flat, and it's going to say Alex Maselli slept here, and then they'll be able to get a lot more money for that flat. Hey, guess what, though? I received a phone call the other day from a friend of mine that's been a friend for years, and he informs me that he's going over to St. Andrews, and we're making plans to hook up, and the possibilities on the table that we'll be flying over there, Janice and I, despite the fact we have our commercial tickets, in his private jet. And I said, you know, don't ask me twice. I'll be there. That should be a lot of fun. We don't know if that's being confirmed or not, but we're certainly hoping so.
All right, Bobby, the Grill Room is proud to be doing our part to entertain the active men and women in our military, but also the veterans as part of the Armed Forces Radio Network.
When we come back, buckle our seat as we go around the world. Actually, I want you to buckle your seat as we go around the world of golf. You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Golf Week, heard on TuneIn Radio and the Armed Forces Radio Network, 144 countries, 77 ships at sea. We'll be back to go around the world of golf.
The Grill Room.
I'd like to welcome some of the most important people in golf to the Grill Room. Golf course superintendents. Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. And because of their efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, a course that is more sustainable, and one that offers natural wildlife habitats. From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. The Golden Bear agrees.
If you love golf like I do, thank a golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Hi, I'm Ernie Els. Autism is not game over, it is game on. Get educated and learn the facts. Please learn the early warning signs on our website, elsforautism.com, and talk to your doctor about an autism screening if you have any concerns.
Sight is one of our most valued senses. Many cherished memories and important life lessons are acquired through sight. Through the Transitions Healthy Sight for Life Fund, we're reaching out in communities around the world to help people understand and protect their healthy sight. Think about what you'd miss seeing if you lost your eyesight tomorrow, and take steps to protect your vision today. See more at healthysightforlife.org.
Welcome back to The Grill Room. Your table's ready. Now here's Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli.
I am a traveling man. Well, I am.
All right, we're cleared for takeoff to go around the world of golf. Alex, since you're over in Europe already, bring us up to date on what happened on the European Tour.
Well, at the Alstom Open de France, Austrian Bran Weisberger captured his third European Tour title with a commanding performance, his first win since 2012. His third European Tour victory, as I said earlier, after 154 events, and moves up significantly in the rankings in the top 50. I think he moved up as far as maybe 39th. I think what's interesting, Bob, is most people didn't know Weisberger before, and if they learned anything about him, it would have been at the PGA Championship when he was in the final group with Rory McIlroy coming down the stretch there. Good player. Obviously has shown that at what is a very difficult golf course at the Nationale at where they play the French Open. So congratulations to Bran Weisberger, who actually, I believe, is coming to the Scottish Open this week as well.
That's a pretty good feel. We're going to talk about that later. Web.com tour, Nova Scotia Open, Halifax, Nova Scotia. They had six tied for the lead after 54 holes. A playoff, though, with maybe the greatest name in golf, Bronson Burgoon and Abraham Answer. They both finished at 13 under par. Answer wins with a birdie on the first playoff hole. It's his first Web.com tour victory. Interesting guy. He's from Mexico. Was born in Texas, so he does have dual citizenship, attended Oklahoma State, and correct me on this one, Alex, with that $119,000 payday, I know he's going to make a big jump from probably around 39th to fourth on the money list, probably enough money to get his PGA Tour card next year. Am I correct?
Well, it's pretty close. I mean, we're in July now, so there's not that many more tournaments left, so the likelihood is that he will probably get his card, but you know, the important thing is, Bob, is that you want to continue to move up in the status as much as possible, because getting out here on the PGA Tour now, you know, you want to get starts, and you want to get starts at venues that maybe you have a choice to pick. And that's one of the problems that they're finding, is that if you don't get, you're not getting the amount of starts you wanted, and or you're not getting starts at venues you want to, that you actually think that you can be competitive at. And you don't want to be having to go back down to the Web.com Tour in 2017.
Also of note, our good buddy Stuart Appleby closed with a 68, tied for 36th at 6 under par. It's his first start since surgery to repair a herniated disc, and it was his first Web.com appearance since 1995. Way to go, Stewie. All right.
You know, Bob, just as an aside, people may not understand, but the way the medicals work, you get to play two or three or four events on the Web.com Tour before your medical kicks in. So this gives you an opportunity to kind of see how your game is and see if you actually are ready to play back on the PGA Tour. So this is one of the reasons why Stuart Appleby was there last week.
Well, you were sorely missed at the Greenbrier Classic. Everybody else was there, not in the field, but I mean a lot of celebrities around the sidelines. But in the end, it was New Zealand's Danny Lee wins for the first time, former U.S. Amateur champion, first victory in 98 starts, born in South Korea, raised in New Zealand. Pretty good playoff. Kevin Kisner, Danny Lee, David Hearn, Robert Streb, all battling for that title. Let me ask you about Kevin Kisner, Alex. Of course, I spoke about it before on previous shows as caddy from my hometown area and known him since he was a little kid. That's the third playoff that Kisner's been in this year. I was just curious. I wonder what the number of records of playoffs that a player's been in before ever coming up with their first victory. I mean, you know, it's very difficult to get into a playoff, and now he's already three of them this year.
Well, I don't know that answer, but, you know, before Sunday, he'd been in the previous two playoffs. He had two birdies and four pars and hadn't won one of them. So, and this one, he actually, I think, had a par as well, because the other two guys, both Hearn and Lee, had birdied the first playoff hole, which is the par 318th. So here's a guy that hasn't done anything wrong, and he still can't find a way to win a golf tournament.
Pretty amazing stuff. Of course, Danny Lee, as I said, former United States Open champion, desperately wants to play on the international team when it's going to be played in Korea. And we'll be seeing him over at St. Andrews. He also going to be playing this week at the John Deere Classic. We'll see what Danny Lee does at John Deere.
You know, Bob, a couple of things about this. When I saw it says it was playing in his first Open Championship, you know, it was kind of odd, because usually the U.S. Amateur gets a spot, but obviously Danny turned after his U.S. Amateur win, so he never got to play in an Open Championship, first of all. And secondly, what I think is interesting is if you go back to Tiger back in 1996, there's only two guys now that have won the U.S. Amateur that I can think of, and that have gone on to win on the PGA Tour, and that's now Danny Lee and Matt Kuchar. It's kind of interesting how winning the U.S. Amateur is not really a barometer on how well you'll do on the PGA Tour.
And Danny Lee told us his secret to success.
I kind of feel like I was playing good, but not good enough to win a golf tournament. But this week, for some reason, I felt right. I was hitting my driver really good. My iron's really good. Putting's been pretty good this year. So,
all right, that was Danny Lee. Pretty ageless formula there, Mr. Maselli. Good putting. More often than not, it's going to win golf tournaments.
Well, I think what's funny, too, is that we should bring this up, is last week he was playing, and he just obviously had a driver that was not behaving well. Usually when I have a driver that's not behaving well, my friends call it Lucifer. So he had Lucifer last week. He gave it to another kid. He gave it to a kid. And then got a new driver built for him this week. And outside of the putting, really what had a lot to do with his victory this week was the fact he was driving the ball so well.
And Robert Streb, interesting story. He had to use a sand wedge on his back nine on Sunday. A gentle toss of the putter, not in anger, but it struck the side of the bag and the head came off. And under those circumstances, he was not allowed to replace it. Interestingly enough, he putted very well with the wedge. But yet when he got into the playoff, he opted to replace his broken putter with one that he had in his locker. And here's the news that I've been waiting to chirp. Tiger, good, solid performance. Bogey-free final round in the Greenbrier Classic. And now with Rory McIlroy out, watch out. Here comes Tiger. He's going to be rolling into St. Andrews.
Wow, where do we start with that? Well, first of all, Bob, what was his finish? I'm dying to remember. I believe it was T33.
Yeah, but he's only got to go up 32 spots.
Okay.
Didn't make a bogey in that last round.
Oh, so good for him. But, you know, did you know that by finishing where he finished, he only fell 6 spots in the world rankings instead of his traditional 10 or 15 spots? Now he's down to 226
in
the world.
Yeah, but he's on the way back. He is on the way back.
The other thing I found interesting is, do you know for the entire year, January 1 till now, he has earned a total of 9.89 points in world ranking points for the year? 9.89. He hasn't even gone to double digits yet, Bob. I don't understand where you think that this is going to make a difference. Just because he had a decent, and I'm not even going there far, decent, because clearly when he needed to, he still couldn't hit a driver the way he needed to, and double bogeys on the third day. I don't know where you think that this is the telling sign. This is going to be the barometer of where he's going to go from now on, because he finished how many shots out of a playoff? They were at 13 under, were they?
Listen,
so
to
he's
me.
six shots. He's 6 shots.
That's all. 6 shots. And
he only was 7 under.
He used the old poker ploy. You don't show your hand until we get to St. Andrews. And that's why Tiger could have exploded for a lot lower scores over those 4 days, but he's holding it in abeyance. And let's listen to Tiger talk about his performance and how it's impacted by his overall game reconstruction plan.
Yeah, it's a great sign. As I said, it's the best I've hit in a very long time. I had full control over all clubs. My only hole that I struggled on for the last couple times I played here is 17. That's the only fairway I've missed all day. So I hit it great. I had shapes both ways, right to left, left to right. I had it on call today. It's been a very positive week, and I've made some nice strides and head into the British Open. And I'll do some good work next week, and I'll be ready come Thursday.
All right, my man T, back in form. We'll see him at St. Andrews. I can't wait to get over there. You know, Alex, the Greenbrier, it was an important tournament, not only for a PGA Tour win, but getting into the Open Championship. And congratulations have to go Danny Lee, David Hearn, James Hahn, and my old buddy Greg Owen, who's from England. Boy, what a opportunity now for Greg, who's been playing some seriously good golf. Now he gets to tee it up in the Open Championship. One place left, and that's at John Deere, highest finisher, as long as they're in the top 12, not already exempt. If I'm correct, Alex, we'll get to tee it up at St. Andrews.
Yeah, and I'm not sure who's there that's exempt. I mean, obviously Jordan Spieth is there, but I'm not really sure who all the groups are that are exempt. But the good thing is, I have to say, that when you go on the PGA Tour website, if you look at the leaderboard, there's a little Open Championship logo next to every guy that's exempt. So it makes it pretty easy to figure out who's got a chance and who doesn't.
And it's really a new and improved system to qualify for the Open Championship with events around the world. From my vantage point, seems to be working. You agree?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I'm not sure that I think that it makes sense to be trying to see who gets in the Open Championship in January in Australia or Japan, because, you know, anything can happen in 6 months. I mean, unlike here where you're getting the hot players. But that being said, I think it's working. And I think what's interesting, though, is that if you look at this event, meaning the Scottish Open, the last four Open Championship winners have come from the field of the players that have played in the Scottish Open. So I think that's a pretty good barometer, knowing, you know, if you should be playing in the Scottish Open or playing somewhere else this week.
All right, we're coming in for a landing on our around-the-world trip. Up next, news and notes. You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Golf Week, heard on TuneIn Radio and the Armed Forces Radio Network. Coming up next, we'll talk about the Donald. And it's not good. It is not good.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
The Grill Room is proud to partner with the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America. Share exciting news about how you could win a trip to the PGA Championship in August at Whistling Straits just by thanking a golf course superintendent. Go to gcsaa.org/thankasuperintendent to enter and recognize someone who has given you a reason to love this great game. Top golfers have gotten on board to thank a superintendent. You should too.
If you love golf like I do, thank a golf course superintendent.
Go to gcsaa.org/thankasuperintendent to enter today. Hey, by the way, Alex, do you know that Ion Loop has a new braided leather bracelet loaded with negative ions?
No, Bob, I didn't know that.
Well, believe it or not, the negative ions are the good ions that we all need to have. It looks so sharp, and you can even wear it out to dinner after you're around. So impress your friends with your new braided leather bracelet. Go to ionloop.com to make your selection. Remember, it comes in black, red, saddle brown, or the new color combo, black and red together. Order today at ionloop.com.
Welcome back to The Grill Room. Your table's ready. Now here's Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli.
Thanks for joining us in The Grill Room. We go to news and notes now. And this next item, first item on board, Alex, Donald Trump making waves with his disparaging remarks regarding immigrants recently in his bid to run for president in 2016. A trickle-down effect of that, really going to be some heavy-duty decisions, Alex, for the PGA Tour on whether they can really go to Doral next year, whether they can play this year the Grand Slam of Golf at Trump's golf course out in L.A. Your thoughts?
Well, I mean, first of all, it's disconcerting to golf because I've written for the magazine this week. The bottom line is that this is a guy that was somewhat of a savior in some ways during the financial downturn, and where he has a portfolio now of 17 golf clubs, courses throughout the world. He has relationships with not only the LPGA and the PGA of America and the PGA Tour and the USGA, where they all have commitments to have events at one of his golf courses over the next 5 years, and in some cases more than one. He's also got a relationship with the RNA as well, and the Women's British Open is going to be at his course at Turnberry in a couple of weeks. So now all of a sudden you have this guy that has got all his tentacles involved in golf, and he goes and makes statements that, you know, that are disparaging to Hispanics in regards to immigration, because he's trying to make a broader statement about immigration. And it's just his statements. It, as Donald Trump is, as he's has this bravado about him, he turns around and elicits that bravado when he's talking about this subject. And you know, you can't discount that when you're running for office. You can't discount his, which were disparaging, unfair, I would say in some cases, ill-informed statements about Mexican immigrants. So you got the PGA Tour leading the pack with the USGA, the PGA of America, and the LPGA coming out with making a statement, a very lightweight statement about Donald Trump, which is understandable considering that almost everybody in the Republican field that's running for president also made either didn't make a statement, or if they did make a statement, it was pretty much of a lightweight statement, not really criticizing Donald Trump. However, the business community has a much better understanding of this scenario. So Univision, the NBC Universal, Macy's have all severed ties with Donald Trump. And what is now starting to happen is you're starting to see other groups and other people starting to sever ties with him. You have the Hispanic coalition, media coalition, who has written a letter to the PGA of America questioning their judgment in continuing to have an event like the Grand Slam at his course in Los Angeles. You're starting to see NASCAR pull away from Donald Trump. I think you're going to start seeing more and more people pull away. Ferry Point is a good example. You're familiar with that in the Bronx, Bob. It just opened not too long ago. Not only the mayor, Bill de Blasio, but also the borough president has brought to the attention that they're looking at the agreements. They're trying to determine if, in fact, they should be doing something differently, which is basically getting them out of management. But the biggest problem with all this is that we don't know how the agreements are structured and how the contracts are written. So as an example, we'll take the Grand Slam of Golf, which is going to be at the Trump National in Los Angeles. It's likely that the agreement, the way it's structured, is basically they're going to have the tournament there unless there's an act of God that indicates that they can't, meaning there was an earthquake or, you know, that course actually lost a hole that fell off the, fell into the sea, something like that. Outside of that, there's no legal reason why they can go ahead and get out of their contract. And if that's the case, it's going to be a problem for the PGA of America, who, you know, by the way, has kind of stood on this platform of being, you know, all inclusive, and we're very upset when anybody does something that could be that could tarnish our reputation, a la Ted Bishop, which was nothing compared to what Donald Trump has said. And yet the PGA of America found a way to get rid of Bishop. So where does the PGA of America go here? I think they have a big problem.
You know, Alex, I'm kind of proud to say that you probably know Sir Donald as well as anybody in the media. You and I have had some personal contacts with him. Where does he go from here? That's what our listeners really want to know. And one quick fact, this was brought to my attention earlier. His clothing line, the Donald Trump clothing line, is manufactured in Mexico to add insult to injury. But the question again, where does Donald go from here?
Well, I mean, the problem is that when someone says something like this and it just resonates with people that they really don't like what was said, then they acted a certain way. They say, you know, everybody stands up in unison and says, you need to change your position. The problem is that Donald Trump is now either first or second in most polls in most states that are doing polling for the presidency and the presidency in the Republican Party and the candidacy. Well, his position is, and I've gotten this through sources, is if this is where I am and this is what I'm doing, I'm running for president, then I don't think I've said anything wrong. And if he had dropped in the polls, it'd be one thing, but he's been elevated in the polls, which it probably creates a bigger question, a more concerning question, is how could people think this is okay? How could people in our country think that his comments were all right and that they're satisfied with him? I think those are the bigger questions. But right now we're just talking about Donald Trump. And the bottom line is if he's not seeing enough negative, and he's only looking at it as a positive, and there is positive for him, then I don't know how he does anything but continue to stay the course.
I can't see in a million years the Sir Donald, at least the Sir Donald I know, backing down in any way, shape, or form.
As we finish news and notes, we're lucky enough to meet a wide variety of people that support the PGA Tour events in the cities we visit. The behind-the-scenes stories vary from hotels to restaurants to golf course operators, and Bob's feature interview with Judd Faria from the Ranch Restaurant in Irving, Texas is just one of them, and you'll hear it after the break.
You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Golf Week and heard on TuneIn Radio and the Armed Forces Radio Network.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
I'd like to welcome some of the most important people in golf to The Grill Room. Golf course superintendents. Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. Due to the game's efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, courses that are more sustainable, with many that now offer natural wildlife habitats. From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. Rory McIlroy agrees.
If you love golf like I do, thank a golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Hi, I'm Ernie Els. Autism is not game over, it is game on. Get educated and learn the facts. Please learn the early warning signs on our website, elsforautism.com, and talk to your doctor about an autism screening if you have any concerns.
Welcome back to The Grill Room. Your table's ready. Now here's Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli.
The coyotes wail along the trail. Deep in the heart of Texas.
I want to share with our listeners a little story. Recently, we were covering the Byron Nelson in the Las Colinas area, Irving, Texas. And I said to somebody from the Irving Convention and Visitors Bureau, I said, where's a good place to go eat tonight? And without hesitation, the name The Ranch came out. And we went, and everything they said about it, it was better than what they said. And joining us right now, he's Director of Operations for The Ranch. His name is Judd Faria. And Judd, thanks for taking time out to speak with us. I want to begin by asking you a couple of the secrets that you incorporate in the running of that restaurant that makes it such a wonderful dining experience.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me. Well, first of all, it's all about, for us, it's about Texas. And you want to have yourself surrounded by people who are committed to the culture of Texas. So we start with our people and our staff, and they are definitely some guys who are local grown themselves, who are native Texans. I'm a native Texan. A lot of my managers are native Texans. So they get it. They understand the state. And we have such a big state, and there's so much variety in it. So it really gives people who are coming from out of town, or if they live here in Texas, it's a comfort zone. They understand it. They get it. And that I think, has been the key to our success is to get people to adopt into the culture of what we're trying to do here, and that is to live and breathe the state of Texas, the cuisine that comes from the Texas, the hospitality and service that comes from Texas, and that's really it in a nutshell.
You know, Judd, there's so many things I want to talk about. One in particular, when I go into a restaurant and I can see the people working in the kitchen, it's not behind closed doors or a big wall preventing me from viewing it. It gives me such confidence that, hey, these people know what they're doing. They're not trying to hide anything, and they're preparing your food basically right in front of you.
That's right. I mean, we're all about scratch kitchen, and our staff, we have, I mean, at one point in time, depending on how busy we are, we could have literally 14 cooks on the line, plus our chef and two expediters to get all that food out. I mean, we have a 14,000 square foot, 500 seat restaurant. So we definitely do quite a bit of volume here. And, you know, the kitchen's a showpiece. We don't want to hide it back in the back where you don't know who's making the food or what. So, hey, it's a big state, and we want to show off. And what better way to do it than have an open kitchen with our staff?
And I know one of the sayings that you'd like to adhere to is farm to table, and that signifies the freshness of the food that's being presented to the customers. And I know that's an aspect of your restaurant that you're extremely proud of.
Absolutely. And I mean, we do it in really every facet we can. Because the state is so large, because we have everything from ranchers to hatcheries to fisheries to, I mean, you name it. And then plus there's a big surge going on through our state in the spirit side as well. So the chef goes out and he partners with these farmers and he gets the freshest possible ingredients with these ranchers, with these hatcheries and fisheries. And we do what we can in order to educate our staff, who thus in turn throws that right to our guests, and they love it because it feels like that, you know, farm to table is a great movement, obviously local sourcing. And I mean, when we say local, there's a lot that's around the Dallas-Fort Worth area, especially here in Irving. But when you talk about the state of Texas, I mean, we really have one of the most diverse backyards in the country. And we can really put a lot of different things on the plate. And that is a real cool aspect of the restaurant.
Well, I only have one complaint, and I'll end with it. And it's directed at the Irving Convention and Visitors Bureau, as well as Judd Frewer, the Director of Operations for the Ranch. After experiencing the dining experience I had at your restaurant, what do I do the rest of the year when I'm not covering a tournament in Dallas, Judd? You tell me what I do. I can't find a restaurant like what you presented to me. The food was excellent. The wine list there is unbelievable. All I want to say is congratulations. I sense the pride that you have in the operation. I sense that from the staff that you have, the wait staff, everybody connected really, truly made it a wonderful experience. By the way, can they find you on the web?
They can. We're at theranchlc.com, theranchatlascolinas.com. We're also on Facebook, and, you can definitely do it. But I do have a solution. We're right next to the DFW and Love Field, so anywhere you are in the country, just hop on a plane and you're 5-10 minutes away from the restaurant. We'll take care of you.
Well, John, there's not many restaurants I would fly to, but the Ranch certainly is on the list of ones that I would. Hey, thank you for sharing with us some time. I know you're extremely busy, and any golfers that are finish their round, or just anybody visiting in the area. The restaurant is called The Ranch. It's at Las Colinas in Irving, Texas. And if you don't have a great meal, I'm going to tell our listeners, you mail me the bill. That's the confidence level I have in The Ranch. Hey, thanks for your time, Judd.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
I'd like to welcome some of the most important people in golf to the Grill Room. Golf course superintendents. Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game.
Due to the game's efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, courses that are more sustainable, with many that now offer natural wildlife habitats.
From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. Jordan Spieth agrees.
If you love golf like I do, you'll thank your golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Welcome back to the Grill Room. Your table's ready. Now here's Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli.
Our thanks to Judd Faria, Director of Operations for the Ranch Restaurant in Irving, Texas, for offering the Grill Room team a taste of Texas. How good was that taste of Texas, Bobby?
Well, Alex, I guarantee you the next time you and I are in the greater Dallas area, I am taking you to this restaurant, and I know you have had the opportunity to eat at fine places around the world. None better than this. Time now to see what's next on the schedule. Let's begin with the web.com tour, Alex.
Albertsons Boise Open presented by Kraft. I'll tell you, a lot of food in there. Steve Wheatcraft, the 2014 winner, now on the PGA Tour and in the John Deere Field. You know, I have to say, Wheatcraft has played pretty well this year. I'm kind of surprised he hasn't won just because of a different attitude that he's taken in to the 2015 season, but there's still some time left.
All right, the Aberdeen Asset Management, the Scottish Open, and you are there.
Yad Gullin, Justin Rose defending. He won at Royal Aberdeen last year. You know, it's a great tune-up for the Open Championship. We're only about, maybe an hour and 15 minutes away as the by driving. But if you do as the crow flies, it's only about 30 minutes if you could go over the Firth of Fife, which you can't. Great field, really. Obviously, Roy McIlroy is not going to be here, but Graham McDowell, Ian Poulter, Victor Dubuisson, Ricky Fowler, Matt Kuchar, Jim Walker, and of course, Phil Mickelson will be making his 13th appearance at the Scottish Open, along with Manuel Angel Jimenez and Padraig Harrington. They're all in the field. Pretty good field, Bob, coming into the week before the Open Championship.
Yeah, and I hope if that crow's flying and he wants to get to St. Andrews, he goes over the Firth of Forth. Otherwise, if he went over that...
I like the Firth of Fife.
Well, we can have a grill room show when we mention Firth of Forth without telling the classic story. I guess we actually played golf there in North Berwick, right?
Yeah, we actually did.
And then we went and had dinner, right? Yeah.
Yeah, Italian restaurant on the way back.
Yeah, and then we're driving to St. Andrews, and we got to the bridge that goes over the Firth of Forth, and there was a police officer. This is midnight. A police officer, middle of the road, waving, stopping us. And there was four of us in the car, Scott Tolley, the director of communications for Jack Nicklaus, Alex Maselli, Dave Shedlowski, and we were tired. And a police officer said, "Sorry, you're not allowed to go over the bridge." And we said, "Can't go over the bridge? Why not?" He said, "Because we have a jumper up there." And in unison, without any coaxing from each other, all four of us yell out, "Jump!" Because it meant going 40 miles one way, 40 miles back another way, because we couldn't go over the bridge. Then finally, we get, and I saw the sign. I remember it like it was yesterday. St. Andrews, 14 kilometers, which is closer than 14 miles. I took a sigh of relief. I heard somebody say to Alex, "Are you okay?" He said, "I'm fine." Next thing, the car is spinning, dust is flying. Alex falls asleep at the wheel, and it comes to a screeching halt. I climb out of the van. I look up, and the sign says, "Hangman's Lane." I said, "Good golly, Miss Molly, what a way to check out." We see some lights. I go over. It's a milk factory. I said, "We're broken down."
With dairy. How about just a dairy?
Milk dairy. Trying to get to St. Andrews. He says, "We got a milk run coming up in about 20 minutes. He pulls up to the car. We throw our clubs on the back of a milk truck. My first visit to St. Andrews, I think, and all of a sudden, I'm arriving in the back of a milk truck.
I just want to know two things. One, how do you know that I fell asleep because you were sleeping?
Well, I'm giving you credit by falling asleep. I don't want to say you were that lousy a driver that you hit the curb and we went spinning around.
Okay. And secondly, you know what I find interesting is where we are. This is where old Tom and young Tom were when they had to make the quick trip back to St. Andrews, and they took a boat across the Firth, which I
know why they took that boat. They were afraid you were going to give them a ride.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway.
All right, the LPGA Tour, the U.S. Women's Open, Lancaster Country Club in beautiful Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Michelle Wee defending. You know, she's not been playing that well, Bobby, but you never know when you get to a women's open. Maybe she'll have some game. She's been hurt with a hip injury. Big entries, 1,873, a record for the U.S. Women's Open. And there are 49 golfers, or 49 states are represented with the exception of Maine and 54 countries. And 11 of the past champions. Should be a very, very good week up there in Lancaster.
Yeah, good luck to the USGA. Let's hope they have a gangbuster United States Women's Open Champions Tour, the Encompass Championship. Our good buddy Tom Lehman defending. All right, and that leaves just one thing on the Grill Room show. We got to talk about the John Deere Classic. Headliner is Jordan Spieth. Alex, Claire Peterson does an outstanding job. Media director for this event has been there quite a few years. Tournament director, not media director. Claire, and if I told Claire 5 years ago, I said, you know, Claire, I think what we're going to have is somebody's going to win the Masters. Then they're going to win the U.S. Open. And then they're going to come play in the John Deere Classic before they go over and try and win the third leg of the modern Grand Slam. What do you think he would have said?
Well, he would probably looked at you funny, but he looks at you funny all the time, Bob.
You're right, but congratulations to the John Deere people with Jordan Spieth there. I mean, it is going to be amazing.
Yeah, pretty good field, too. Stricker will be there. Danny Lee just winning after Greenbrier. As we talked about, Stuart Appleby coming off of his herniated disc surgery and playing last week on the Web.com Tour. Greg Owen, who you had mentioned, is now in the Open Championship. Zach Johnson, who has won previously there and is from Iowa. Kevin Kisner, Davis Love III, Sam Saunders, Vijay Singh, and Sean O'Hare, among others. A very, very good field. Once they're done, they all jump on the plane. The charter plane, which I believe usually it's been Mark Cuban's plane in the past, and they'll fly to the Open Championship. It will wait there and then take those players back that want to come back for the next week, and they will go to the Canadian Open. So it's a pretty good, seamless way to get to the Open Championship and back.
It really is, and I think that has been the key to their success in the strength of field. By the way, interesting media members, if there is room, you can book passage for just $2,000, so it's a pretty good deal. One place left in the Open Championship, that'll be up for grabs at the John Deere, and that'll go to the highest-placed player in the top 12 finishers not already qualified for the Open Championship. I remember back quite a few years when I said to Sean O'Hare, are you playing at John Deere? He said, no. And I said, well, I think you might want to do that because you'll have an opportunity to get in the Open Championship if you play really well. Well, he went to John Deere. He won. And then I happened to be at St. Andrews right outside the clubhouse when Sean O'Hare and Steve Lucas, who was his caddy and father-in-law, both showed up, got to see St. Andrews for the very first time. They were both overwhelmed. I know you haven't been overwhelmed with this show, but we appreciate you listening. And let's have everybody keep their fingers crossed. Maybe we can get Rory McIlroy, Mr. Maselli, to play at St. Andrews.
That's a big if, Bobby, but that's it for this week. You're listening to The Grill Room, heard on TuneIn and the Armed Forces Radio Network, powered by GolfWeek.com. By the way, The Grill Room is also available on iTunes, SoundCloud, Audio Boom, and, of course, at our website, TheGrillRoom.com.
A big thank you to our partners, the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America, to Ion Loop, and TheGolfWeek.com. So for Janice Self, Alex Maselli, and myself, Bob Bupka, thank you for being part of our Grill Room family. Please follow us on Twitter at TGR Golf and on Facebook at The Grill Room Golf Show.
Thanks for spending some time in The Grill Room. No need to leave a tip. Just come back again next week. The Grill Room.